Are you ready for the word? So let's say this together. Dear Father, name of your son Jesus, in this service, we welcome revelation knowledge in its freshness and fresh application. We believe and receive that there's no error or confusion or distraction either on our hearts or in its atmosphere. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your son, even as he sees us in him. In this service, we receive clarity and precision and accuracy. He is glorified as we are edified alongside those who hear us and the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 16. So this session is just to clean up some things, clear up some things for you. Because I noticed that you needed some things to be said again. Matthew 16. Pay very good attention. Very good attention. Very, very good attention. Matthew 16. Verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that John the Baptist, others Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, whom do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Last night, I said this wasn't like something the others did not say. The importance of this confession was where he said it and when he said it. And that lays the foundation, as it were, for the gospel. What gospel we preach. In Romans 1:1, Paul says, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, separated the gospel of God, which he had promised in the scriptures by his holy prophets. Now, it says in verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, who was made the seed of David according to the flesh. He now said, he's declared the Son of God with power. Now, that statement is confrontational. In Rome, where Caesar is worshipped, he said, according to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. He said, of whom we have received apostleship for the obedience of faith amongst all nations. Paul is saying, therefore, there, that Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. So the gospel is a warfare. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3, say that we walk in the flesh, don't walk out of the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of imaginations, things that people have imagined and thought, we're pulling them down. That's what the gospel is. So when Peter said, thou art the Christ, he was confronting an ideology. The Son of the living God. So you and I must never cower to confront ideologies. Whether they are sophisticated or they are intellectual, it makes no difference. Jesus Christ is Lord. I said Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's not co-sharing with anyone. He's God. Hallelujah. So he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Pay attention. Whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So he uses heaven and earth together in verse 19, mentions heaven in verse 17. And like we've said over the years, that you see, you know, the idea of teaching heaven as where dead people go to is wrong. It's one of the most misunderstood terms in scripture. Very misunderstood. But look at this, we're going to get that. So, when he said that I'll build my church, I told you in the morning to pay attention to the word build. Church. Kingdom. Now remember, because I want you to do something now in study, because we're reading the same book. When you see Jesus use a word in John, in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, read them together. Is that okay? Read them together. Now, when he was in the temple and he spoke about the temple and the merchandise, all right? And they asked him, what are the signs of these things? He said, destroy this temple or this building and I'll raise it. Because the temple is a building. I'll raise it after 3 days. So put that somewhere. In Matthew 24, they were talking about building. Matthew 24, verse 1 to 3. In Luke 21, we read that earlier too. It's about the buildings. And Mark also, it was about the building. So Jesus is having conversations around the building, around the temple. Okay? Then he says, I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, earlier on, I told you that the term heaven and earth is a short form of describing the temple. The temple is understood by the average Jew as where heaven and earth meet. Let me give you a small, just a small idea of that, but I'll talk about it later on. In Genesis 28, when Jacob, you know, he tried to sleep, and as he was trying to sleep, God didn't allow him to sleep well. God interrupted his dreams. Then he saw a ladder from heaven. Now, if you read the Bible together, you notice that in Genesis 11, some people put ladder from the earth to heaven to build a temple, to build what you call the ziggurat, a temple complex. But in this instance, it's God himself who brought the ladder down. Let me just tell you this, so this is bad for you. I'll talk about it in the morning tomorrow again. You know, one day, David, the king, you know, he's talking to God in 2 Samuel 7. So he's telling God, he said, look, you know, David is now comfortable from the shepherd's boy that he was at the back of the desert. His dad did not even remember, it's one of his sons. Then he says, Lord, he's speaking to the prophet. He said, I don't know. I discovered the tent of God. You know, they had a tabernacle. He said, it's not fine. He said, can we touch it up? He said, I'm trying to build God a house. You know, there's more befitting. That's what David said. Several Psalms myself said, something more befitting. And the Lord said to him, let me say it in Nigerian language. I'm fine where I am. He said, you will build me a house. He said, no, I will build you a house. Hallelujah. That's what he told David. He said, I will build you a house. That was when Solomon was going to build eventually. Solomon, he said, I know that no man can build a house for you. That's the beginning of the house dedication. You know, he said, so this is just like a figure of speech. So we know, we think that, sometimes we think Old Testament saints were very stupid. That they assumed that snakes used to talk. We are more intelligent. That the Old Testament people, they thought that God was in a house, but we know better. Stop joking. These are guys that Jesus used to talk to face to face. No, so that was not the reason why the temple was built. None of them imagined that God will live in a physical being. None of them. So don't think they were spiritually dull. No, they were not. David said, I'll build you a house. God said, you come, let me build you a house. I'm fine with my tent. That's what he told me. We'll look at that later on. So, you know, when Jesus spoke, or he said this, let me get back to my teaching. I just flew off there. We said heaven and earth. That was in Genesis 28. So the ladder came down. And Jacob saw angels of God ascend and descend. And he saw the Lord on top of it. Now remember that Jesus said that in John 1:51. He said, in the resurrection, you will see the Son of Man and angels of God ascend and descend. Which means that what Jacob said, Jesus fulfilled it. Are you following this? So when Jacob was in that vision, the Lord said to him, he said, look, I'm going to give you this land to your seed and to your seed's seed. It will go to the west and all the nations. The same thing he said to Isaac and Abraham. So when he got up from or came out of the vision, Jacob said, the Lord was here. That's what he said. I did not know. The Lord was here. I didn't know. Then he took oil. We're going to talk about the oil tomorrow morning. He took oil and poured it there. And he said, this is the Lord's house. He called it Bethel. That's what he called it. Now, why did he call it the Lord's house? Heaven and earth, right? We're in the same place. So, heaven and earth together is a temple of God. Heaven and earth. Isaiah 66. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build for me? So heaven and earth is another name for the temple of God. Where heaven and earth meet is called the temple or the tabernacle. Now, the difference between temple and tabernacle is a moving tent. Alright? The temple is a building. That's the difference. But they carry the same function. That's why when Jesus came, alright, he is called the tabernacle. The word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. But in the resurrection, it's called the temple. Hallelujah. Alright, are you here? And John calls it the Father's house. Okay? So, heaven and earth is a short form for the temple of God. Don't forget that phrase. Let's move quickly. Now, look at that Matthew 5. Matthew 5, 18. Are you in church? Alright. So you know what? You're going to do something. This is a very fast note you're going to have. You're going to put the binding and loosing, therefore, that Jesus used in Matthew 16 is, just put it somewhere, the office of the priest of God. Or the office of the prophet of God. Or the office of a king from God. Not king of God. Matthew 5. Just put that song, we're going to get there. So verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Now notice, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass. Now the word pass there means it will go into expiration. Till heaven and earth will expire, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Pass away. Which means it's going to become obsolete. Jesus again is describing that building. Never forget that. He's describing that building. So, heaven and earth, I said earlier, is a short form of describing the temple. So pay attention, put that somewhere. Now look at Luke, go back to Matthew 16. Show you something quickly. Now, look at similar words. Verse 18. I'll build my church. So put that in the same place. I said similar words. 19. I'll give to you the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So the kingdom of heaven on earth is synonymous to the church. The kingdom of on earth is synonymous with the church. So put that there as well. Now something happened in Luke 23. Luke 23. Listen carefully now. I found out that sometimes we argue on the lesser, no, that's not the word, but we take our eyes off the ball in some conversation. Now, on the cross of Christ, we had different people who hung on the cross. Because the use of the cross there was to penalize, punish, judge criminals by the law. Good. So, in verse 39, one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condition? And we indeed just, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. For this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, Lord, now this fellow either been to his meetings, heard him, or just believed the scriptures. So pay attention. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Pay attention here, please. When you come into your kingdom. Now, he knows or he knew that Jesus was going into a kingdom. Kingdom is not a place. No. Kingdom is a rule, a reign. When you reign. For example, if you look at some kings, for example, the Queen of England, the one that passed on, Queen Elizabeth, you hear she reigned from maybe 1940 something to 2022. That span is kingdom. When she exercised authority, of course there's a where to it, but it's more of when. Now you notice that the kingdom of Jesus is called eternal life. It's forever. So the kingdom of Christ is forever. Because his tenure doesn't have an expiry date. So put your hands in there, we'll see something. So he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Now notice the response Jesus gave to him. Verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Hallelujah. So, what is paradise? Well, you say paradise is that blissful, let me tell you what, that blissful life. And usually, why we think like that is because we all read the yellow book. Your wickedness, yeah. Yellow book, where it's a paradise, and then you have the donkey and the lion, and everybody's together, and you're playing, and playing, and playing. And this is nice, though, but that's not in the Bible. So, we assume paradise. What's paradise? And that word has developed an English meaning. If you check on dictionaries, they'll say paradise means a blissful life. Some even add, I think the Oxford said, where the dead, according to the religious faith of Christianity, where they go to and there is no more pain, no more sickness. I like that too. No, but that's not what it meant. Now I believe some versions are going to correct it. Because the meaning of that word, lost, is meaning in traffic. Then transit. Unfortunately, it was taken from another word called paradisos, which means bliss. But, like I've always told you, the speakers, the writers, the authors were teaching from the Old Testament. Now, Strong's Concordance was able to identify it, and amongst others. That's why I told you in the morning, getting a concordance is very important. Now, Strong's Concordance calls it Pardes. P-A-R-D-E-S. Listen well. When you look at it, that's the first thing they will call it. P-A-R-D-E-S. Now, P-A-R-D-E-S is for a park, a garden. So where you have paradisos is more of a Latin word. So a park or a garden. Now, let me tell you. Now, Strong's was straightforward at some point, read the commentaries. And I've done this study myself because I know from the grammar that what Jesus actually said was, today you will be with me in the Garden of Eden. That's what he said. Because the word paradise is a translation of the term Garden of Eden. It means a park of beautiful things. Garden of Eden is a park, a garden of luxury. Now, if the alarm bells are ringing, you notice in the morning, we said Jesus came to fulfill something that started at the beginning. Right? Very well. Come on, are you here? Good. So, now, so you know that you don't have to die to get there. No, you don't. Because if it's the Garden of Eden, now, if you take the Old Testament of that phrase, parties, you see Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 5. And Songs of Solomon chapter 4 and verse 13. Nehemiah 2, 8. Ecclesiastes 2, 5. Songs of Solomon chapter 4 and 13. Paradise refers to a garden. Special garden. A garden that is special. A holy place. A special place. A sacred place. It is not a place for the dead. Because the first time we read about such a garden, pay good attention please, which is in Genesis chapter 2, it wasn't for dead people. In fact, it's the very origin of man. So, it's not, Jesus didn't use it because he was dying. No. He didn't use paradise because he was dying. He used Garden of Eden because it's right there in the Word of God. It's right there in the Scriptures. So it's not a place for the dead. We're going to explore it a bit more. It is not a place for the dead. Somebody else went there and he did not die. Somebody else spoke about it and he didn't die. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Are you in church? Chapter 12, I said. Chapter 2. It's not expedient, verse 1, for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. So I said visions and revelations. So what Paul is going to describe here is a supernatural thing. So he says in verse 2, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, Paul is speaking here, I cannot tell, whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, for such one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows. Look at verse 4. How he was caught up unto what? Now, come on, change it now. Caught up where? Unto the Garden of Eden. And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. So Paul describes this not as a place you go to at the end of life. No. This is in Paul's experience. Definitely. Because the Garden of Eden, an experience. But don't forget, an experience in Revelation. Look at Revelation 2. The book of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the garden of God. Now, if you observe, and you could take our series Sitting on High, I explained a bit of this. That trees were used as symbols of the supernatural world. Whether Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Gideon, Joshua, trees were symbolic of the supernatural world. So when you hear the tree of life, that audience understood it as a supernatural place. We'll look at that again tomorrow. Don't forget. Many things tomorrow. Amen. Alright. So, watch this. So when Jesus spoke to the man, it's not because he's dying. The truth is, the kingdom of Jesus is not from death. It's from his resurrection. So therefore, the kingdom of God, right? You see how? The kingdom of God also can be described as the Garden of Eden. God's sacred place. I said, notice the word church, kingdom of heaven and earth. Right? And then we found the kingdom now is described as a garden. Or call it paradise. So, what did Jesus do when he rose from the dead? He brought man or men to a garden. Good, good. Just place that somewhere. So the kingdom, paradise, are similar phrases. Now, why is this important? Because we found it in the beginning. And we said earlier in the morning, the word beginning and the word foundation. Look at Job 38. We're going to run through that again, what we studied earlier in the morning. Job 38. Are you in church? So, heaven or heavenly, the Garden of Eden, the kingdom of heaven, are not the places, they are not the retirement home of believers. It's not where, when believers retire, it's called heaven. No! Not at all. Paul didn't retire there. Jesus did not retire there. Look at Job 38. See how Job, the book of Job describes the beginning. Job 38. I'm going to read verse 5. Verse 4, sorry. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? The foundations. Look at verse 6. Whereupon are the foundations thereof fasting? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? God is describing the earth like a building. Are you following? So, now it doesn't look like a building in the material world. But the identity of this earth, listen well, is first of all a supernatural one. So, because, listen well, the first thing that a believer needs to cure in this world, the first problem, is an identity crisis. Who are you? Now, before we get there, what is this earth? No scientist can tell us, because they are only finding out. Nobody. The one who can tell us what the earth was made for is the one who made it. Now, every believer, right, believes that God created the earth. Anyone like that? Oh, you don't? Okay, let's just get an altar call so you get born again. You believe God created the earth? So, it's not something we are trying to argue over. Right? So, having understood that, why did he create the earth? He calls it a house. Foundation. Cornerstone is a house. So, since we know it's a house, don't forget, Jesus said, I will build. Job 38. He said to Job, I laid the foundation. There is the cornerstone of that foundation. So, Genesis will tell us what the earth is for. So earlier today, we began to look at the phrase, end of the world. Did you learn something in the morning? Are you sure? end of the world. I said, it doesn't mean the world is coming to an end. There are two words, foundation and completion, right? Foundation and completion. Foundation and completion. Foundation is a starting point. Then you have the completion. So, let's look at those texts again. The foundation of the world is in Genesis. Matthew 13 and 35. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. And this is Psalm 78 verse 2. Psalm 78 verse 2 uses the word quidem. Psalm 78 and verse 2. I'll open my mouth in the Bible. I'll utter dark sayings of old. Of old. Look at Deuteronomy 32. Why did they call it of old? You see it in the morning. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 7. This is Moses. Remember the days of old. Same word. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your fathers and they will show you. The elders, they will tell you. Now, if you're talking to people in the Exodus and you're referring to of old, you must be talking about where? Huh? Ephesians. That's Genesis. So Genesis is where we have the foundation. The foundation. That is why the book of Genesis can also be called the book of the seed, where the seed was sown. Genesis is a seed book. And you know, from the seed, we'll know what to expect. We'll know the harvest. So, now look at Luke 11. Learning something? Are you learning something? Luke 11. This is Jesus. In verse 49. Wherefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles. Some of them they shall slay. Now slay is another word. You slay. And persecute. Look at 50. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from when? Foundation of the world, may be required of these generations. Look at 51. From the blood of who? Abel. So Abel is described at the foundation of the world. Now, let me tell you what world is. Right? So you get it. There are two words used for world. And they can be interchangeably used. One of them is cosmos. C-O-S-M-O-S. It means to arrange something. If we decide, for example, to put the seats in front here at the back, what we have just done is a cosmos, an arrangement. Now, there's another word called anion. Anion, A-I-N-O-N. It simply means times. They're interchangeably used. Which means both of them describe activities. So when we say, do not be conformed to this world. Alright? Notice, every time you see the word world, it's described. This world. These activities. This arrangement. You are not of this world. Okay? You are not of this world. Yet, the writer of Hebrews says, through faith we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. Now, he had ordained this before the world to our glory. So the word world does not mean worldly. It just means an arrangement, okay, a structure, activities, or a time of activities. So when they asked Jesus, pay attention, and they said to him, What is the sign of your coming and on the end of the world? And we said the word end means what? Completion. When will everything be done? The completion of the world. To understand the completion, you go to the foundation. You know, if you have ever been in done a building project, you will have the plan. And then you have some guys who say, well, this house is going to be like this. It's going to have 4 rooms. And then they'll describe it to you. They'll show you the 3D, 4D. Do we have 5D yet? We have 5D. We don't have 5D. Just 4D. It's still 4. Are you sure? Yeah, I don't know. I think they show us something to collect money. So you have, they're going to show you. And when they show you, they said, this is what it's going to look like. Right? Oh, okay, good. Then they now start to lay the foundation. That foundation will have the structure in a seed form. But you can't live in it. It's the beginning. So the book of Genesis shows us the pattern, the foundation. It shows you the plan. The plan. This is why Jesus taught a lot from Genesis. Remember one day in Matthew 19, someone came to him, one of the Pharisees, said, for what reason shall a man put away his wife? Jesus said, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning. Now let me say something, I'm going to talk about it tomorrow. He wasn't using Adam and Eve. He who made them at the beginning made them male and female. He said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So they are no more twain but one, wherefore what God has joined together, which we use at wedding ceremonies. Let no man put us under. And you are the one joining together. Let no man put us under. So the guy asks, why then did Moses, according to Deuteronomy 25, give a bill of divorcement to put her away? Jesus said, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but at the beginning. Hallelujah. Now, don't think the beginning there is when things were smooth. No. No, 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 no. That things were so smooth, then things went bad. Mm-mm. Beginning is the plan. Beginning is what you set out to do. At the beginning, it was not so. At the beginning. And the word beginning in the Greek is the word arche, A-R-C-H-E. But if you get to the Greek, Hebrew, we'll see that also, is the word reshith. It's used not for a time before time began. No. It's the commencement of an activity. Or used for first fruits. And usually, listen, write this down, this is important. The Old Testament use of beginning is oftentimes a span of time. It's not an instant moment, no. Beginning sometimes in scripture stretches into 10 years. A beginning can be 7 years. As we are seeing now, the beginning of Genesis is still ongoing. Beginning. So it's not a time before time began. Mm-mm. That's reading meaning into it. Your meaning, sorry. So when it says at the beginning, which means this is not the plan. In our series, you get for yourself, fulfilling your destiny in God, we saw there are some things that are second best. There's something called second best in God's word. If not the will of God, he will permit it, he accommodated, but it is not his intention. And it's all through the scriptures. So the beginning shows you his plan. Are you here? So beginning is foundation. Beginning is the plan. Beginning is foundation, the plan. Beginning shows the intent. So, if we understand beginning, foundation of the world, then we'll easily understand end of the world. The moment you think end of the world is the world coming to an end, you have ended it. Because the end of the world, no wonder, don't forget that Jesus said, you will hear rumors of war, but the end has not come. That means the end is not disaster. Brother Sabrina said, that's not the end. He said, when this gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, Matthew 24:14, is preached in all the nations, we're seeing that in the moment, as a witness, then the end. So the end of the world is brought about by the preaching of the gospel. It's not by fire. The end of the world is signified by the preaching of the gospel. It's not a time bomb that God sets around the four corners of the earth. Alright, let's go. Go. Now, if we know the end is to complete a building, who will complete a building then throw bomb inside? No. That's not the end. So follow this. Now, another phrase that you can see used for the word end, Matthew 24. You know, every time I teach this, someone told me, said, it means you don't believe in heaven. You can't intimidate me with those kind of questions. Someone said, you know, you don't believe in the rapture. I believe in the rapture, but not your kind of rapture. I do. Because it's in the word of God. But the rapture, I believe, does not take men to run away. The rapture just disappear. Pam, 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 pam. People are just disappearing. It's nowhere in the Bible that people just disappear. Hey, where is brother? Ha! Ha! Sister, she's not around. Hey! You better go and tell the police. There is no such thing in the word of God. Are you here? And you'll be driving. You're not here, trumpet. I'll try and explain 1 Thessalonians 4 to us tomorrow. Tomorrow again. Okay, maybe Sunday. It's just gradually. They say, fire, the apostle, maybe somebody is the one that blew that. I can hear it. Did you hear it? They will drop our clothes white. They will go in the air like, woohoo! Stop watching movies. It's not in the word of God at all. But what about Paul? Paul said the trumpet will sound. See, Paul and his audience understood what they were saying. You are the one that sneaked into the audience. Hallelujah. You know, there are people today, they will tell Paul what he meant. The Holy Ghost told me that what you meant, Paul said, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, ha, ha, ha. It's my revelation, Paul. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. You in church? You see why this is very important. In our study of the word, Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached where? I didn't hear you. Come on. In all the world. For a witness unto what? So notice what? All the world. All nations. Then the end. So put it together. All the world. All the nations. Then the end. Now, don't write nonsense. Hold on. Some of you draw Mickey Mouse. Now, all the world, all the nations, then the end. We said in the morning, and we said last year, that Genesis is a house project. A house and a home project. What is his home? The old earth. Right? Come on. That's all the nations, right? All the world. So the house is not... Have you given someone a house to build and they say, we are done. They go and inspect. Say, what about this place? And you think when you move in, say, no, it's not done. You must finish everything. Right? You must... That space is meant for the cars. This space is meant for... I'm just thinking that you can just move in. Just move in. As we are going forward, you can say, no. You must finish everything. Put everything where it ought to be. Guy comes back and says, I'm done now, sir. You go back. So what about this gate? Okay, I'll pay me my money now. This one. I've done it. You can't manage it. He said, no. Because it must be all for it to be the end. It's not 70%. It's not 80%. It's not 90%. So Jesus said, all nations, all the world is equal to end of the world. Is that clear? Let's take it again. All nations, all the world is equal to what? Now, did you notice how the end will come? The end will come by preaching. The end will not come by boom, bam, boom. The end will not come by COVID. The end will not come by war. When Ukraine and Russia were at war, prophets started again. Just like they do during elections. So that's when the anointing comes on them. When there's a problem. They say, I knew that Putin was Antichrist. So look at that guy in Ukraine. So what's going to happen now? Someone said there's going to be a bomb. We should think that those days there's a bomb that is in America, in the White House. If they release it, everybody will die. He said there's another one with Saddam Hussein. How? Nuclear weapon, atomic bomb. There's just one button. Boom! And all the earth. Are you serious? So, every time there's war, people are usually saying, the war is going, and go look at the First World War, Second World War. There were prophets that kept saying the war is coming to an end. Situational anointing. When you have no more job, but prophesy about football game. Say, I see Nigeria enter final. Every time I hear that, I know we are not going to enter. You know? That's what some people do. They just get busy. Just busy. And all they do is they just watch CNN. From what I see, then they will now dream. Then they have a vision. Get busy. Hallelujah. What is bringing the end is what? Preaching. The moment you know that, you know it's not destruction. Preaching. Matthew 28. Are you in church? All authority is given me, verse 18, in heaven and where? Now heaven and earth is what? Come on. Very well. So is he building a new heaven and earth? Huh? Is Jesus building a new heaven and earth? The first one has passed away. Oh, let me show you. Revelation 22. Quick one. 21, sorry. I saw, verse 1, a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, outside of the tabernacle is called sea. It's a temple language. I've done this study for us. Go follow the teaching, sitting on high. I explained this. Now, verse 2. And I saw the holy city, right? New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? So, heaven and earth is another name for tabernacle of God. Put something somewhere, just add Garden of Eden in a bracket. Trust God to explore that too. So, Matthew 28. Are you in church? Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Is it the new temple? Is it the one that's passing away? Talk to me now. Look at 8:19. Go ye therefore and do what? Now we said, what are similar words? All nations, all the world, and what? Let's go again. All nations, all the world. Okay, so look at 19. Go ye therefore and teach. Look at verse 20. I'm with you unto the end of, can you see it? All nations, end of the world. Mark 16. All nations, is that every creature? Is that every creature? Good. Mark 16, 15. Go into where? Oh, come on, let's go. Go into where? And preach the gospel to where? Is that the same thing? Is that the same thing? Luke 24. And 47. So while the church is waiting on Christ to come, it's waiting on you. Jesus said, take them not out of the world. That's what he prayed. He said, keep them. You are going nowhere. You are going nowhere. And say, Lord, God, this one. God is looking at me and say, they play. They play. Hallelujah. The earth is his resting place. Hallelujah. The earth is his resting place. Is that clear? Good. His word is not my home. I am just passing through. You are coming back. Brother Jim Reeves. Luke 24. Are you in church? In 47. Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name where? Among all nations. Is that the end of the world? Talk to me. Is that the end of the world? All nations. Now, so all nations, end of the world, every creature. Look at Acts 13. No, look at Acts 1:8 first. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, let's see the B part together. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and where? The uttermost parts of the earth. The uttermost parts of the earth. Let's look at the Old Testament. The Old Testament will shed light on these for us. End of the world. Psalm 22. Are you in church? We're going to read these ones together. Are you ready? We have like 11 texts. Are you ready? Let's go. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nation. Now, where do you use worship? Temple, right? So, is this the end of the project? Talk to me now. Very well. Now look at Psalm 98. And verse 3. You ready? Let's go. He hath remembered his mercy, his truth towards the house of Israel. Go on. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Now look at Psalm 2. I don't know why I skipped that, but Psalm 2 should be my first text, maybe. I don't know why I skipped it. Psalm 2. Now I'm going to read verse 7 and 8. Let's go. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, thou art my son, this day I have begotten. Look at verse 8. Ask of me, and I will give you the Ethan for your inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Look at Psalm 65 and verse 5. Let's go. By terrible things in righteousness, will you answer us, O God of our salvation? Of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea. Psalm 66 and verse 4. All the earth, are you there? Shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Psalm 67 and verse 7. God bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. Psalm in verse 8. Let's go. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to where? Look at verse 9. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him. The enemy shall lick the dust. Psalm 72. Okay, read that, verse 8. Verse 11. Yea, all the kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve. Psalm 86. And verse 9. Let's go again. All nations whom thou hast made shall come, and what? Worship before thee. O Lord, they shall glorify thy name. Psalm 96 and verse 7. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now the previous one says, honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Look at verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come to his court. Psalm 102. And verse 22. When the people are gathered together, the kingdoms to serve the Lord. Psalm 117. And verse 1. Praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all so, ends of the earth, uttermost part of the earth, all nations, end of the world, are they synonymous? Are they synonymous? Okay, so you can see why what will bring the end of the world is the preaching of the gospel. Not the Antichrist. Antichrist is an Old Testament word. It's not Bill Gates. Except when Bill Gates decides to oppose the church. That's all. Any religion, faith, belief system that opposes who Jesus is Antichrist. It's a system of belief. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So, now pay attention to this. So the foundation, we said the foundation is where we see the plan, right? Come on. That's the beginning. The foundation is the plan. The end of the world is the completion of the building. So, Genesis 1:1. Are you in church? Are you in church? Are you in church? Shout glory if you are in church. Look at Genesis 1. We said heaven and earth is another name for what? Tabernacle? Temple? Right? Okay, good. So let me show you something. Look at Deuteronomy 30. Deuteronomy 30. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, and both thou and thy seed shall live. I call heaven and earth against you. Look at again, Deuteronomy 4 verse 26. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day. You shall soon utterly perish. So why would he call heaven and earth? Because heaven and earth is God's tabernacle. So, if you understand what that is, go to Genesis 1:1. I've explained this to us over and over again. Genesis is not a science book. It's not a book to contest with scientists about the age of the earth. They say it's 1 million years. You say, never! My Bible says 6,000 years old. You just be appearing stupid. Because that's not your Bible. The Bible, the Old Testament, was written in pre-science times. So it's not possible for you to be discussing science. So Genesis 1. Are you there? So heaven and earth is what? A short form for what? God's dwelling place. Now look at this. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, we usually use the word create. We say bara. Bara means to create out of nothing. And the reason why they often say that is because they assume the word form and void is nothing. That's not true. Without form or void, and void is a word tohu bohu or tohu wabohu. It simply means without structure. Every time you see without form and void, something is in existence. It is however out of order. Something is in existence. Let me read to you the Septuagint Bible. Septuagint is the Greek rendering of the Old Testament books. Read that to you. It says, verse 2, the earth was unseen and unprepared. Unseen and unprepared. Some other versions of the Septuagint will call it uninhabited. It's not ready. Now, it's not ready for who? Huh? It's not ready for who? God. It's not ready. Like we said, but it's done. No. Until you are done with that part, we're not moving in. It's not ready.
So the word tohu wa bohu is not nothing. It's not used for nothing. It means unprepared, without structure, or out of order. So, the foundation of the building is light out of darkness. To build people from out of darkness into his light. Shall explore that later. When the building is done, Genesis 2:1, thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the host of them. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had. And God, notice, it was the seventh day, the only day in Genesis 1 that did not have evening and morning. Why? Because it's everlasting. So, the writer of Hebrews says, he spoke of the seventh day on this wise. The seventh day is ongoing. That's why the nation of Israel were meant to remember it. The Sabbath day, the day where God puts things in order. So watch this now. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day, sanctified, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So when it is done, it becomes his home. Right now, it's his house. The structure was not a home. And this is how I like to explain it. It's like when you are moving the house, and then you get these people that are helping you to move the house. So they take all your television, the furniture set, all the things, the beddings, the beds, and they just take them and they put them in the building. And then you say, ah! You say, well, the TV ought to be here. This one ought to be there. Now, it's a house, but it's not yet what? A home. So what do? So what you have is tohu wabohu. They put the kitchen utensils in the living room. They put the chairs. The guys are just in a hurry. Just drop everything. Pam, 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 pam. It's out of order. What do? Just like in Genesis 1. You separate things. You stay here. You stay there. What are you doing? You are making it fit to be what? A home. So from Genesis, we can know what God is doing now. He's making the earth what? His home. Who's following what I'm saying here? Let me see your hand. Come on, let me see your hand. Is it getting clear? He's making the earth. That is what we mean by the foundation of the world. So when all the ends of the earth now worship him, the earth is not just his house, it's now what? His home. Who's following this? Let me see your hand. Very well. So you can see that a wrong explanation of the end of the world, usually described as destruction, has misled many of us. It has. Because what will champion it is not destruction. It's the preaching of the gospel. Go to Genesis 1 quickly. In that, notice, and this one is a promise. We'll do this one tomorrow. Notice that the last person, the last part of Genesis 1 is man. And it says, let us make man, verse 26, in our image. Image is a temple language. The word Salem is that figurine, that solid creature, solid product, a solid build that is meant to represent an unseen God. You don't have image without talking about temple. You don't have image without talking about worship. Let us make man in our image. I believe God that tomorrow, Sunday, Monday, your identity will be so clear to you. You won't define your life by your career. Not by your tribe. Not by the nation where you came from. Not at all. Not even by your weakness and your strength. You define yourself by God. Hallelujah. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Those two words are temple languages. Then he says, let them have dominion over the fish of the air. The fowl of the air. Genesis 1. Pay attention here. Are you in church? Over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. He's not talking to Adam and Eve here. He's talking to mankind. In fact, the Septuagint says humankind. Not Adam and Eve. Look at 27. God created man's image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. Now my focus this evening is on 28. Let's read 28 slowly. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply. Hold on please. This is not Adam and Eve. So be fruitful, multiply. You know, some parents will tell their children, now that you are married, when I the Bible says we should just be fruitful and multiply. And so, you and your wife will fill the earth. Explain it now. Even if you give birth to children every 30 minutes, you cannot fill the earth. So this cannot be biology. Is that clear? Adam and Eve are just two. That's prophetic. It's me. Boy, is and they won't die, they replace it. Adam and Eve never, they didn't even fill their streets. So this cannot be reproduction. Notice. Again. In 28. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Now, what do you replenish? Something that has lost its usefulness. That has lost its purpose. Bring it back to its order. Watch this. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every creeping thing. Now quickly. In Genesis, there's a word in there. I'll just run through that quickly because of time. When it says to multiply and fill, you have the word rabbah. It means to have to be much. To multiply. To be fruitful. The word para. To keep increasing. The word subdue. Kabash. Is a kingdom language. Where you put things under control. Now, if this was before anything existed, what are you putting under control? That means something was already in existence. Now he says, have dominion, the word radar. It means to reign. So, the word subdue, have dominion, is kingdom. Remember, Jesus said the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom. This is not the kingdom of man over man. Oh. That is the earthly one. Now, the one I want to pay attention to here, he says, feel. The word replenish is the word malay. That word is similar to what we have been studying so far. End of the world. So every time the writers of the scriptures refer to the ends of the earth, the end of the world, they are quoting Genesis 1:28. Cover the earth. Fill it up. When the image of God fills the earth, then the earth is his place of worship. Fill the earth. The first place in scripture you will see all nations, all the world, is Genesis 1:28. Fill it up. Multiply. Replenish it.
Then the contrast happened in Genesis 6:11. Violence and wickedness and sin and 13 filled the earth. Then he called Noah and he gave him the instruction again. Fill the earth. Genesis 9:1. Said the same thing to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. I'll close here. When Jesus rose from the dead, let me have sound here. When he rose from the dead, what did he come to do? He came to fulfill the word. He came to fulfill, to bring it to pass. He is the Genesis person. So when he says to us, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and preach the gospel to every creature, it means he's about to bring the world to its completion. The house project, the home project. Paul will tell us that God is building, we are co-laborers. Hallelujah. Can you now see why oftentimes the word edify? What does it mean to edify? Make it worshipable to God. Edify means what can be used to worship God. That's why loving others is edification. Giving, walking in love, not just tongues, good works, is to edify. Why? The earth is his resting place. Hallelujah. 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 So it is the church that will bring the world to its completion. It's the church. And that is the coming of the Lord. We'll explain that tomorrow to you. The coming of the Lord. You see what it means. The coming of the Lord is not a return. Not at all. The coming of the Lord is the show of his power, his will, and purpose in the earth. When it began, that was the coming of the Lord. When he was anointed, baptized by John, that was the coming of the Lord. When he died, he came. When he was buried and rose from the dead, he came. When the Gentiles and the Jews united together in the church, that's the coming of the Lord. The grandest of all the coming is when the whole earth is filled with his glory. Then we can say, come Lord Jesus. This is you in all your splendor and glory. For the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. Lift your hands toward heaven and bless the Lord. Give him praise. Thank you. Bless this afternoon. Raise your hand. Worship him. Thank you. Bless his name. The end of the world is not something we look forward to. It's what we walk towards. The end of the world is why you left your nation to go to another nation. The end of the world is why you're on television, on radio. The end of the world is why you're on the streets preaching the gospel. The end of the world is why you give all for Jesus to be known. And why? What's the end point? What's the end point of all Christian activities? All our works? The worship of God. Who are you? You are a worshiper of God. That's why you were created. You are created to worship him. Worship him is not singing a song alone. It's rendering your life.
That is why you were created. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Thou art worthy.